Baptist Church of Blairs, Virginia. Now, here's Elder Parker.
Good evening, friends. We welcome you to the Primitive Baptist Gospel Hour. I'm Elder Dan Parker, pastor of the Afton Road Primitive Baptist Church in Danville, Virginia. We count it a wonderful blessing and a great delight to come into your homes this night. And we hope that you will open your Bibles up and join with us in the Word of God in my teaching of the Gospel of Jesus Christ as I present unto you the unsearchable riches of Christ Jesus our Lord. We are thankful to God for this blessing. We would invite you to come and be with us at the Afton Road Primitive Baptist Church in Danville. If you'll just call me, I'll give you the directions to the church. The phone number is 434-836-6036. The number is on your screen. We meet every Sunday morning at Afton Road. Singing begins at 10:30, preaching at 11 o'clock. You'd find a very warm, cordial welcome among the church at Afton Road. And they would love to have you in the worship service. We appreciate those of you who have contacted us and that have stated that you enjoy the television program, and we appreciate your contributions. If you would like to make a contribution to this telecast, all you have to do is make the check out to Afton Road Primitive Baptist Church or to me and send it to the address on the screen. It's 295 Sweden Falls Lane, Blairs, Virginia, 24527. Before I get into the message, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus Christ, that name which is above every name, we come to thy throne to give thee thanks for all the rich blessings that thou hast bestowed upon us. As I preach tonight, in thy name, may thy Spirit give me the liberty to recall the scriptures and to testify of thy wonderful gospel and to lay out unto thy children those things that are contained therein. And we'll give thee all the praise, honor, and glory. It's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that I pray. Amen. I want to begin this evening in the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 16, and I'll start reading with verse 14. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. As we look into the scripture, this particular portion of scripture, which I want to expound tonight, and along with it, several other scriptures of the subject that I have on my mind, we read here where that our Lord Jesus comes to his disciples or his apostles on the mount that he had appointed them before, and he comes unto them and he gives them a commandment. This is commonly known as the Great Commission. But he commands them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, our Lord in the 28th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, he gives them the same commission or the same commandment. In chapter 28 of the Gospel according to Matthew, he says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Amen. So here we have our Lord speaking to his disciples or his apostles, the same commission, the same commandment in chapter 28 of the Gospel according to Matthew, as I read here in the Gospel according to Mark. But it's worded just in a little different way. Same thing, same words, just worded in a different way. But here our Lord is instructing them or commanding them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, he didn't mean immediately, but he meant when he opened the door of faith for them to go into all the world. Of course, before they were to go into all the world and preach the gospel, they were to tarry in Jerusalem, and the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them. And of course, they preached the gospel first in Jerusalem, and from there it began to spread out into all the world. But now there would be a change, that it would no longer be confined to the nation of Israel or to the Jews or to God's people among Israel. That is, the gospel would be preached unto all nations. It would be expanded into the Roman Empire at that time, the world, the known world at that time. And so they were to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And of course, the every creature here is people. And in the gospel according to Matthew chapter 28, it tells us that they were to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever the Lord had taught them and commanded them. They were to convey through and by the gospel the message unto all nations. And they were to teach all nations and every creature in the Roman Empire that they were led and directed to preach to, that they were to teach them everything and all things that the Lord had commanded them. Well, they were to teach them, preach the gospel unto them, and they were to baptize those who believed and responded to the gospel of grace, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now here in verse 16, we find that our Lord told his apostles, he says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." I want to focus our minds tonight upon the believer and baptism. Who is it that is qualified to be baptized? Who is it that is a subject for baptism? And what is baptism? And who is baptism for? Well, we have different theories among the religious world in Christendom. I guess the main theory, the theory in general that is taught among Armenians or those who believe in the free will doctrine and preach that, is that you must believe and then you'll be born and then you're to be baptized. That's the most common our general teaching, or the most popular teaching in the Armenian world. Men will tell us that Jesus died for everybody, but it's not effective until the sinner that is on his way to hell responds, and he must comply. Though he is an alien sinner, yet he must comply to make the blood of Jesus effective for him. And how he does that is by his faith, or his believing in Jesus and believing the gospel and responding to it, or complying to the gospel. He will be born. That is, he'll be born of God. And then he can be baptized in water. That's the most popular theory. But then we have the theory, or the false notion, is that there are those that advocate that you must believe and then be baptized in order to receive the new birth, or to be born again. You must believe and be baptized, and in the baptism, in the act of water baptism, that's where you're born of God. That's where that you're regenerated. That's where you really get saved for heaven. That is, baptism is a necessity for someone who believes the gospel. In order for that one who believes the gospel to be baptized, he must be baptized, and therefore in baptism, in that act, he will be born of God, or he will be saved for heaven, or that is necessary for his salvation for heaven. But they will also say that salvation or eternal life is just in prospect, that you must live out completely and persevere to the end before that you can be received in heaven. That is, even after that you are baptized and born of God, that you, if you backslide, you can lose your identity as a child of God. You can lose eternal life. Well, both theories are false. Both theories are wrong. The only thing that they agree on is that the sinner must comply, but they differ on what step that the sinner must comply to, or how many conditions that he must meet in order to be a child of God. Both theories are false teachings. Well, what is the truth? Well, the truth is a person must be born of God before that he has the capacity, the ability, or the potency to believe. He must be born of God. And I could cite many scriptures to you, but I'll give you a few to prove that a person must be born of God before that he can believe. In John's first epistle, chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." So here we find that those that believe, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That is, it's a past completed action, is born of God. He didn't say there that you must believe in order for you to be born of God or to get born of God. He says the believer is born of God, that is, already in possession of spiritual life that God has already worked within the heart. They have been born of God, or they have been quickened by the Holy Spirit. So the believer is a child of God. We read in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13 and verse 48, where that Paul and Barnabas had turned from the Jews, and they preached to the Gentiles. And it says, when the Gentiles heard the gospel, they glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. How many believed? As many as were ordained or appointed or elected of God believe. Now, what were they ordained to? They were ordained to eternal life. Those that believed in that particular place at that particular time, they believed because they were ordained to eternal life. That's an unchangeable principle. You'll never find it reversed in the scriptures. Always the believer is a born-again person. He's already a subject of grace, already been saved by grace, already a redeemed person, already washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that person that believes is already a possessor of everlasting life. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said, "He that believeth on me hath everlasting life." So I have established that the believer in Christ, is a child of God, already in possession of spiritual life, and that birth has prepared and saved them for heaven. The belief is the fruit of the product of the work of grace. All right. So what is the truth? Well, a person must be born before that he has the capacity or the power or the potency to believe from his heart in Jesus Christ. And then the believer is to be baptized. That's the order of it. Birth, belief, and baptism. So baptism is for the person who believes in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who believes that he died upon the cross, that he put away their sins by his death and his shed blood, and that he arose from the dead, and believes that salvation is by grace, and believes the contents of the Word of God, and believes the whole counsel of God, believes the gospel. The child of God who believes the gospel. He is the qualified subject to be baptized in water. Here it says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Now, if there is only one salvation or one deliverance in the scriptures, if there is, and it's always talking about receiving eternal life or being born of God or going to heaven, then this text would tell us that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You see, the salvation in this text comes in not only believing, but in being baptized also. So, if the word saved is always talking about heaven or being born again or being brought from death into life, then this text would teach that. If there's only one salvation or one deliverance that is taught. And those of you who would say that all you got to do is believe and that's going to save you for heaven, you have come short of what the Lord Jesus taught right here. But he says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." So the salvation is a result of believing and being baptized. Well, the truth of the matter is, this salvation or being saved here is not for heaven. It's not being regenerated. It's not being born of God. It is not being saved from hell. It is not a person who is a believer, that is a goat, that gets in the water and he comes out on the other side a changed, born-again person. No, if a person goes into the water and unregenerate, he'll come out on the other side a wet unregenerate. If he goes in a goat on this side of the water and comes out on the other side of the water, he'll just be a wet goat. But the salvation under consideration here is a child of God who believes the gospel, that obeys the gospel from his heart. There is a deliverance or salvation in him being baptized into the true gospel church and obeying the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the salvation in baptism is always for the believing child of God who is saved by God's grace for heaven. It's always a time or a temporal or a gospel salvation. The child of God who believes the gospel and complies in baptism, in water baptism, does receive a deliverance in the water, in being obedient unto the Lord. But it's not for heaven, and it's not being saved for hell, from hell, or it's not being born again, it's not being regenerated. All right, we're going to find out who it is that is baptized, that is saved. Who is it that is baptized, that is saved with this gospel deliverance? Well, it is the believer, and the believer is a child of God that's already been redeemed, already been born again, but now he's obedient unto the gospel, and he receives a deliverance in his mind and in his heart that he has obeyed the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to take you to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, with a lesson that the Apostle Peter taught here in chapter 3. And in verse 20, I'll start. Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Now I want you to listen to this. While the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The salvation here is by water, and the means is the ark. Verse 21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the washing away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto kin. All right, here we have a lesson that the Apostle Peter taught to God's people as he wrote unto them about the time that Noah lived, and those that were disobedient in the time of Noah, when the long-suffering of God waited, as the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Well, right here, these eight souls were saved by water. They weren't saved by blood. They weren't regenerated. They weren't saved from hell. They weren't saved for heaven. But what were they saved from? They were saved from destruction. Well, who was saved? Who was saved from this destruction? We read over in the book of Genesis about Noah. Well, Noah is said to be a man that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So he found grace before that the flood came, before that he and his family were saved by water in the ark. The Bible says that he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So he was a recipient of God's grace before that he was saved by water. He and his family, before they entered into the ark, they were saved. They were saved by grace. So we find that he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. In the book of Genesis, chapter 6, Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. He wasn't a unregenerate, that's for sure, because he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God's grace favored him. God's grace was bestowed upon him. God's grace was in his heart, in his life, and in the life of his wife, his three sons and their wives. He was a just man. The Bible is very clear he was just in the sight of God. Well, if he was just in the sight of God, he had to be right in God's sight. And if he was right in God's sight, he was already a recipient of grace. And he proved that he was just in God's sight because he was perfect in his generations. That is, in his worship of God and the life that he had, he was perfect. And not only was he perfect, but he walked with God. He was a man that walked close to God. So he had communication and fellowship with God. But there was a flood that God revealed that was coming upon the earth. And so this flood was coming upon the earth, and God told him to build an ark, and God told him how to build it, give him the dimensions. So it is that he built the ark. It had never rained upon the earth. He built the ark exactly like God told him to build it, by faith. He moved with fear as things not yet being seen, and he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. All right, we have a saving here, or a salvation, in the ark by water. 8 souls were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. All right, baptism is the like figure of the figure. We have the figure in the preceding verse, and here baptism is the like figure. What does baptism do? Baptism doth also now save us. Again, I want to find out who is qualified and who are they that are the subjects for gospel baptism. Well, if this is the like figure, then we must compare it to the figure. All right, Noah was a child of God before he entered into the ark and was saved by water. Before that, these 8 souls were saved by water, they were already recipients of God's grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's very clear. So who is it that is a subject for gospel water baptism? Well, it is the child of God who has been saved by God's grace. So it is that if and when that they are baptized, there is a deliverance. It's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. Peter makes it very clear. It does not wash away, or does it cleanse the inward man. It does not regenerate. It does not save for heaven. It does not save from hell. But what does it do? It does not wash away the filth of the flesh. And he's not talking about taking a bath. He's talking about what baptism does not do. Now, those who would tell you that baptism washes the man within, that is, it regenerates the man. If he complies, that's what's going to take him to heaven, or that's what is necessary for him to be qualified to be saved in heaven. No, my friends, it does not wash away the filth of the flesh. But what is it? It's the answer of a good conscience toward God. Now, who has made the conscience good? And a person who has a good conscience is washed by the Spirit of God and by the blood of Jesus Christ. And they've already been prepared for heaven. But the child of God who believes the gospel in his heart, he should respond and obey in order to receive this deliverance by being baptized in water. Yes, we do believe as Primitive Baptists that the child of God who believes the truth and is who is baptized by the authority of a gospel minister, by the authority of the church, baptized in water, and baptism is plunging in the water and being raised out of the water. We hope that the Lord will bless you with this message until we come again next week at this same time.